And we've been taking a look at the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter and epistle to this church at Corinth there in Greece. Lord worked mightily in this Gentile church, or amongst these Gentiles, and the salvation of them. They are a church made up of people. They've got problems. Some have written unto the Apostle Paul and with questions that they had. And that's good. That's good for them to inquire. That's good for them to be concerned and want an answer and an understanding. Remember, they are living in a time where the New Testament scriptures are being written. And so what you and I are blessed with today to have so easily available to us was being written at that time and first given unto them. We're here in this chapter, in chapter 7, again in verse number 1, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me," and he's dealing with things regarding marriage. He's talking about those who are not married keeping themselves and protecting their virginity, their innocence, their reputation, that intimacy that the Lord has made on the other side of sin and in the garden is reserved for marriage, and it's the Lord's gift in that, but it is reserved just for that place. They come from a society and a culture where their worship is pagan idols and pagan gods, and which are just rife with sensualness and fornication and such as that. They've been saved from those things, but they still have challenges about those things, and the brother is writing to them about such. Their bodies are the temple of the Lord. Our bodies are the temple of the Lord, the dwelling place of the Lord. Wherever you and I take our bodies, whatever we do with our bodies, we're taking the Lord with us in those things. And the Lord is never complicit in that, and is an indeed a grief and a quenching of the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. We who are saved, we need to realize that. We pick it up here in verse number 25, and the apostle in this chapter is saying some things like, I'm speaking this by permission of the Lord, not the command of the Lord, but here it is in the Word of God. And so I find that interesting. This book, the chapter such as this is interesting that way. The apostle speaks about speaking something by permission rather than it being the command of the Lord. Nevertheless, we understand, Brother Peter makes it clear, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable unto us to teach us how we are to walk and live and operate before our Lord. And so I find that interesting about this. This is the Word of God. We need not doubt anything that is given unto us. We need to understand it contextually and put it in its right place. And we're going to run across something here in this chapter that it's a thinking that is foreign to us. And so we'll talk about that when we come to it. Verse number 25. "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful." And so he's speaking to those that are unmarried, and by virtue of not being married, they are pure and have never been involved in any kind of intimacy with another. "I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be." So he speaks about here a distress, pressure from the world. Brother Doug touched upon that in his Sunday school lesson this morning about pressure, persecution, things such as that. That come upon the people of God. And for us, so much of that is foreign. As the brother pointed out, maybe we've been abused verbally. Maybe we've been shunned by some. But I've not lost one drop of blood for the sake of Christ in my life. And I'm thankful for that. But many others have given their lives. Many others have seen their children taken away from them for the sake of Christ and such as that. And so he's talking about a distress, and he's given this advice to the unmarried for consideration. Okay. "Art thou bound unto a wife?" Speaking to a man. Verse 27, "Seek not to be loosed." "Art thou loosed from a wife?" Not talking about divorce. It's talking about being not married or being widowed. He says here, in this present distress, my advice to you is seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. So this isn't a thing about sinning or not, because the Lord has ordained marriage. I believe it's the Apostle Paul that wrote the book of Hebrews, and in chapter 13, he makes it very clear that the marriage bed is undefiled. Okay, and so that's marriage is a blessed thing from the Lord. It's from the garden. It's from before sin. But he's talking about the practicality of walking with and serving the Lord when there is this pressure on. Okay, and so we'll see more here about it. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Speaking of a woman, both of them, the reference is being a virgin, the unmarried. And the widows are in here too. He'll touch on that. She hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Okay, so why is it that we have trouble? Well, I tell you what, when you take on a family, you've got things to do. You've got a responsibility to meet. You've got things just of the necessity of life. When children come into the picture, there's a lot to do. There's children that not only need to be taken care of physically, but they need to be reared. They need to be taught. They need to be taught and guided in the things of the Lord. There's just a lot to do just in living day-to-day life when you have a spouse and then when children come of that marriage. It's just that way. And so he's telling that and giving that for consideration. If one goes ahead and marries, they're not sinning. But he's saying, for this pressure that we're under, for this pressure that you are under, consider these things. But this I say, brethren, verse 29, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though as they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. In a paraphrase, because of this distress, because of this pressure upon the church, because of this pressure from the world upon the way of the Lord, maybe their pressure is that y'all have got to quit meeting together. Y'all have got to quit talking to people in the community about this Jesus that you say you serve and the love. You got to quit talking about this gospel and salvation and forgiveness of sins, this trouble that you're bringing on our community. And so there's pressure from the world, pressure from men, pressure from Satan, pressure from the depravity of the world, that it may need to be that at times we just streamline our lives. Okay? It's what he said, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though as they had none. Now he's not talking about neglect in any way, but the enjoyment and the pursuit of the things of life. What's he say here at the end of this phrase? And they, verse 31, that use this world is not abusing it. Maybe one would have plenty and would be able to just have more enjoyable enjoyment and times and splurging and such as that. Because of this distress, may be well to cut back on that and get focused on the work of the Lord, the witness of the Lord, and getting through this time of trial, this time of testing, this time of pressure and persecution from the world. But I would have you, verse 32, but I would have you without carefulness. Carefulness regarding the things of the world. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord. He can give himself totally to it. There's not a wife that has to be provided for. There's not children that have to be provided for. Those things are not bad. But when there's pressure from the world, there's going to be a love and a care that should be there for a wife, talking about from a man's standpoint. There's going to be a love and a care there for the children. If the persecution becomes so tough and so difficult, as the Lord told the disciples in the day of his ministry, he said, if they press on you here and they persecute you here, load up and go to another city. You won't run out of cities before I come. Well, it's just harder to run. It's harder to flee. And flee was the word that the Lord used if you've got a wife and you've got children. Or maybe you wouldn't stay as long being single to bear in that wrestling, to bear in that struggle for the truth of the Lord and such as that by having a wife and children. He's given this for consideration. He's not saying that this is the way it's got to be and that this is a commandment, but to consider about the work that they have been called unto. He that is married, but he that is married, verse 33, careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Take care of her and provide for her. And for, again, also the children are in here too. It's not that marriage is bad. It's not that children are wrong, that it's wrong to have children. But it does, and even the requirement of the Lord for taking care of a spouse and the, you know, the husband, a wife, a husband, and they for the children, it takes time. It takes effort. It takes work. And that time cannot be used in the ministering of the word of the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, verse 33, that he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. So now he's going to the female side of it. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord. If her heart's right, she's dedicated to that, she can help. You can see, we can't go and help and neglect our own household. There's a minimal amount of things that have got to be done in a household. And in the ministry, there would be a temptation for that to be done. But that's got to be cared for, too. But a gal that's not married, she can care for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit, keeping herself totally for the Lord and for his work and sake. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And we do have this that is here, is that husbands and wives should be caring one for another on how to take care of them and provide for them. But when he says please here, he's not talking about fleshly and worldly whims and just a wastefulness of life and a provision and such as that. There's no problem in enjoying ourselves, but that is not all of our life, what our life is supposed to be about. It's not talking about just idle and vain fancy all the time and forever, but he's talking about the care that they need. And so there is that a husband and wife are joined, two being joined into one flesh, and they are to have a care one for another. As we see from the beginning of this, a care one for another in every way. Verse 35. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you. Very important verse to get in the context of this passage. He says, I'm telling you how to benefit, how to go forward for the sake of the Lord, to have a vision and an understand for the life to come and how this life is to be used to honor and glorify the Lord. And there is a reward in the life to come. This I speak to your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, it's right, it's a good witness, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Because in that of living life, there is just the distraction against the Lord's work in maintaining a home and inputting into a marriage and doing those things in the marriage and the rearing of children. But if any man think that he behaveth uncomely towards his virgin. So now he's coming to something it's really hard for us to understand. This comes from a time, if I understand it, of arranged marriages. A time that the father would be the one that would have the say about the marrying of his daughter. And it's just, that's foreign to us and our culture. I'm not saying that what we have is right. I'm not saying that what we have is wrong. But you and I have inherited it, and this is where we're at. Now listen, young person, you do need the blessing of your parents when you go to marry. That's part of honoring your parents. Well, Brother Jim, my parents are sorry and you know, off key and just going haywire. Well, I sympathize in that. And when parents would go in a way that's contrary to the Word of God, that puts someone in a very difficult situation. But we'd honor our parents as much as we can and be obedient to the Lord. And so here he's talking about a father having a daughter, and so this behaving himself uncomely towards his virgin is talking about keeping her from marriage. Understanding about the times, maybe, and as he's mentioned earlier, about the distress that's at hand, and it's just he's purposed about her that he's not going to marry her off. But he's going to keep her at home. Let's read. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely towards his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let them marry. And so he's talking about his daughter marrying a man. She would desire, she's getting older, the opportunity for a mate is becoming less because of her age and such as that. He said, you can let him marry, but regards to this distress and this pressure from the world and what the Lord's called us unto, it may be better if she wouldn't. Okay. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. And so he that says, no, I'm going to keep her in my home. I'm not going to have her to marry. I'm going to keep her here. See, understand, this is a culture, too, that every soul, every mouth in the family that is getting older becomes more of a burden to the family. Yeah, and you and I, we don't have a clue about that. We don't have a clue about how that is, that life is just so hard scrabble that as the father is getting older and less able to provide for the family, that children that get up in age and are the daughters that are able to marry, it's good for them to go on and find a good husband and marry a man to go on and have a life for themselves, because the father just may not be able to maintain the lifestyle as he gets older here. We don't have a clue about that, do we? But in these days, that was some of the case. And so, listen to what he says. So then he that giveth her, and so it's made very clear, this is talking about a father, he that giveth in marriage doeth well, because marriage is honorable, created by the Lord. And so, hard for us to understand about applying this. Again, in our culture that we've inherited, our young people look to initially make their own decisions about marriage. But listen, young people, seek the blessing of your parents. Seek the blessing of those in authority over you and that have helped you in your life. The wisdom of those that are older to look upon a situation, a potential marriage. Because listen, when you're looking at somebody and looking to marry them, it's getting that serious. I'll tell you what, your mind and your thinking, on average, is going to be scramble brains. You need somebody that has some experience and has some insight separate away from the emotion to give input. I'll go ahead and say this, to give input about the character of the person that you're considering to marry. Character is of the greatest importance. And for the saved, Christian, Christ-like character is of the greatest importance. And so we have those that have just gone the miniature checklist that have said, okay, I'm saved and I'm a Baptist. They're saved and they're a Baptist, but they give no consideration about their life. They give no consideration to their dedication to the Lord. Give no consideration about what they think about family and home and children and future and all that. Get married and then find out that they're on two different tracks. There's more than that to look at and consider. And most of all, seeking the face of the Lord and the leadership of the Lord. Marriage is serious, serious business. And so don't forget about parents and their opinion. And parents, let us be not jealous over our children, but wise in the Lord regarding them. And not, we love our children, we want good things for them, but let us not be overboard in trying to keep them from something, but be honest and truthful according to what the Lord says about who it is that there is pursuing them or they are pursuing themselves. It's needed in our day. A bad marriage is great misery. Great misery. As somebody said, there are worse things than being alone. And so he says here, so then he, verse 38, he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. Better in regards to the distress and the pressure upon the work of the Lord at hand. Verse number 39, we touched on this verse earlier because of earlier in the chapter, in verse 13 about a believing spouse and an unbelieving spouse and how it is if the unbelieving departs, it says in verse 15, a brother or a sister that is saved, of course, that's the reference to them, are they not under bondage in such cases? That bondage is not talking about bondage in the marriage. It's talking about bondage in they fulfilling the marital duty that is there in marriage. If you get a spouse that just wants to come and go at their pleasure and is adulterous and wicked in regards to relationships with others and just wants to keep their spouse that they have on the string, that spouse is not in bondage to meet those things of marriage in that. It's not talking about them being open and okay for divorce. Okay? Listen to what it says here in verse 39. And this gives clarity in regards to verse 15. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. Good marriage or bad. Whatever shape the marriage is in doesn't matter. Because they are married. And the law is there, as the Lord has given, is that two shall be one flesh, period. And Jesus, when he dealt with it, said, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And so Jesus even added that in the day of his ministry. A wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. So again, back to verse 15. In such cases, a sister or brother is not in bondage. Well, it's not talking about remarriage, okay? It's talking about that fulfilling of the marital responsibilities and those many things that are included in that. Back in verse 39, but if the husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Saved and Baptist are to marry saved and Baptist. Otherwise, it will and is an unequal yoke. And it will yield problems. Now, understand, two being of two different directions, they can learn how to live together and have and deal with the differences that they have. But when there's a child, then all that stuff gets shook out. Because which parent is going to take the child the way that they want to take them. And the children flush it out indeed. So those that are widowed, it's okay for them to remarry. But the advice of the apostle is consider staying unmarried and dedicating yourself to the Lord. But she is happier, verse 40, if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. And so he's giving here about what he speaks by permission and what his thinking is. There's, in this passage, there's thought about the Apostle Paul maybe not having been never married, but maybe that the Apostle Paul has been widowed in some of the language that's there. And so I just want to mention that to you. There's really no way for us to know. We know at the time that he writes this, certainly he is single, okay? But we don't know if it was that he never married or that he was widowed. We just don't know. But that is something that you might hear as you hear discourse about this chapter. Next time, we're going to be going into things being offered to idols. Yes, Brother Jim, we don't have that, do we? No, we don't. And praise the Lord for it. We don't. The greatest paganism, idol worship that we have in our day is the worship of self. Is the worship of self. And so we don't have this problem about going to the meat market or go where meat is sold or offerings are sold and being reconstituted. It's interesting, I find in this that those worshipers of pagan gods, the offerings weren't obliterated. They took them after they had offered it and then they took it around. One reference is to the shambles or to the market, and they would resell it. They would sell it, rather, for whatever purpose. I don't know who was getting the gain from it. But there are certainly some things that we can learn from this about offense to one another. Offense to one another. And so may the Lord help us as we delve into this, and the Lord give us wisdom and understanding about it and application to it in our lives.